Okay, it looks like we are recording. Welcome, everybody. This is Joanna, and I am so happy to be on this call with you today, which is with one of our guest speakers, Lexi D'Angelo. I'm going to be introducing her in a moment. And today's call, we're going to be exploring websites and really creating websites that are effective, because there are a lot of websites out there that are just not effective, that don't really do much for practitioners. And so I'm just so excited to have Lexi here today to talk about that and to talk about branding a little bit, and everything in between. So I'm going to read, Lexi, I'm going to, well, first of all, hi, Lexi.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here. And in a second, I'm going to read your formal bio. But before I read your formal bio, I just want to say I'm so happy and I'm so thrilled that you're here. And, you know, when I was leveling up Sacred Depths this year and wanting to bring on guest teachers, you know, I really was choosing carefully who I was going to pick, and you are really one of the first people that came to mind, because you are just not just in the realm of websites and branding, but really in all you do, which I'll get to in a moment. You're just so brilliant and so magical, and you just have this knack of, like, seeing what needs to be seen and zeroing in on things. And so I'm just so excited to share you with everybody here.
Thank you
for being here.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. And you know, I'm a huge fan of yours, so it's such an honor.
Yay. We're mutual fans. Let me read your for real bio so that I don't miss any pieces. So Lexi is a life and success coach for impact-driven soulpreneurs and visionary leaders who love cookies. Sounds like me, but hate cookie cutters. Yes. She empowers her clients to ditch the guru strategies that are sucking their souls and instead tune into their inner guidance and claim their unique magic so that they can create fulfilling and sustainable success their way. In other words, without sacrificing your purpose, your passion, and your priorities in the process. And this is something I know, Lexi, you're a genius at, because you've been through your own remarkable journey of really just owning all of who you are and your desires and your brilliances. Utilizing a potent blend of NLP, hypnosis, self-knowledge systems, and highly personalized business strategy, Lexi helps her clients overcome the limiting beliefs and patterns that have been keeping them stuck and upgrade their mind, body, soul, and energy so that they can quantum leap to their next level. And I know that you've really helped create so many of those quantum leaps with your clients. So yay. Oh, and I should mention you're also a graduate of Sacred Depths.
I am.
And Into the Depths facilitator training. So you already speak, everybody already speaks the same language here.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for reading all of that. That was perfect.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. So there are people on the call today who I know are here and are just starting out and maybe don't even have websites at all yet, or maybe have put something up, but, you know, they don't feel solid in it. And then there are other people that are here on the call today who are very established and have had websites for a long time. Probably if you're established and you've had a website for a while, your website is working for you, but you have this intuitive sense that your website can be working better for you. And so I want to dive into, you know, all of that, and I know that we can make it applicable for everybody here. And I know that you work with the full gamut, but let's actually just start from the beginning and share with us, and I know a lot of new practitioners have this on their mind, when do you know it's time to create a website?
Yes, such a good question, because I'm probably like not, or I don't have a typical opinion. Like most people are like, you need a website, and like you must have one right away. And I actually think that it can be such a distraction for some people. I know for myself, when I first started my business, I spent like 3 months working on my website day in and day out and driving myself crazy doing it, only to finally have this beautiful website, but then like there was no one even there to go visit it. Like no one even knew who I was. It was pointless.
That so echoes the story of my first website, by the way. Exactly the same thing. My first business, I had a business partner, and we spent months creating such a beautiful website. We're both Virgos. We kept on harping on every little detail. It took forever, and it was such a distraction when we could have been using that time and that energy to actually be reaching out to more people and bringing them into our programming.
Yeah, so I had to learn the hard way, unfortunately. And even so, when I had this website, it actually wasn't even speaking to my ideal clients, because I was pretending to be somebody that I totally wasn't. I was basically just copying what other people, what other health coaches and life coaches were saying out there, and just trying to kind of piece together all these sites and just like, okay, like they're doing it this way, so like this must be the way. And it had zero personality. And so, I mean, it wasn't a shocker that even when people did start to hear about me, they were like, I don't really want to work with you because you're kind of just like boring and beige and blah. And so I think the biggest piece for people before they even dive into a website is for them to be really, really clear on, you know, what their unique magic is, who it is that they serve, how to really speak their people's language in a way that really meets them where they're at. So I think a big thing that I struggled with in the past, and I've seen a lot of people struggle with, is that they are so used to their industry's lingo that they're using phrases and saying things that like are basically like a foreign language to their people. Because if our people aren't in the spiritual or self-help world yet, and those are, you know, your ideal clients, they're not going to maybe know what like holding space is or creating a tight-knit container. I remember when I first heard people say those words, I was like, what the hell are they talking about? And so it's really important that you are doing target market research and speaking to these potential clients to really hear the words that they're saying, to really hear what it is that they are saying that they want, and to give them or to provide different copy and things on your website that really speak the language and help them identify with where they're at now, and then, of course, strive to where they want to be, but we have to make sure that we are talking their talk, or else we're totally going to lose them and they're going to just go on to the next person who they can actually understand what they're saying. So I think that that's actually like a really big piece that a lot of people don't take enough time figuring out before they even dive into a website as well.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing this up, and I want to pause on what you're sharing here for a moment because it's so important. So this idea of part of language isn't just what we as practitioners come up with in our minds about what we want our clients to hear. This goes for website copy and any copy, right? But it's also like the most effective copy, the most effective phrasing also comes from speaking to people that are our ideal clients. And a big mistake that you can make is just like throw up a website without having that. And you know what I want to share about that is, even for me at this stage in my business, obviously my business is, you know, very, very developed and very evolved. I still do informational interviews with people, especially if I'm launching a new program, or I like did a launch on a program and it didn't go the way I wanted, or I felt like a particular page on my website wasn't effective, I'll go back and I'll speak to ideal clients or people that took the program, or people that I think should have signed up for the program.
Yes.
And I'll ask questions so that I can not only get their point of view, but actually capture phrases and language that I know, okay, my ideal client is using this, so I should really integrate this into my copy. If I'm on an enrollment conversation with someone who's ideal, and we're looking at their gap and we're looking at their vision, and they use certain terms, I'm going to make note of that because I'm going to want to integrate that into my website.
Yes, that's so important, and I love all of this. And I think it doesn't matter if you're just starting out or if you've been in this industry for years. It's just so important that we're not only like staying up to date with the language of our clients, but also the connection to them and really making sure that we are taking the time to understand them. And I think that sometimes it feels like a not so sexy piece of the puzzle, but it actually can be really fun and really enjoyable because you're really able to, like, when you think about the result that this is going to create, aka being able to speak to your soulmate clients and being able to serve them in the highest level possible, like, that's such an incredible result. And if this is a stepping stone along the way, well, then, like, hell yeah, let's absolutely do this. And I like to even, like, a little tip is I like to have this, like, document that I keep where I basically have all my different programs laid out inside of it and, you know, who it's for, kind of, like, what it's about. And then also the languaging in terms of what are their pain points in their words, what are their desires in their words, and any kind of, like, anything that they're saying, like you said, inside of the target market research or if I'm on sales calls, or even if I've been in Facebook groups or I just see, like, an Instagram post pop up or somebody commenting on something where I'm like, oh, my God, yes, like, that is so beautiful and such great copy, then I'll kind of put it in this little document that I keep, which is so helpful to refer back to whenever I'm creating content for each of my programs. And another thing I want to say, too, is that if you've been a coach for a little bit now and if you have any type of applications that you have potential clients fill out or even forms that you have new clients fill out at the beginning of their time with you, this stuff is so golden. Like, I go back to people's welcome questionnaires all the time to see what the language was that they were using at the start of our time together, because it's not just enough to get the testimonials at the end, because then they've transformed and then they've already up-leveled, and so they're kind of almost in a completely new reality from when they were at the beginning of our time together. So having this languaging prior to the transformation is really crucial.
I love that. I need to go back to welcome questionnaires more often than I do. I go through for the purpose of coaching clients, but I love that idea of going back for the purpose of the marketing language as well, because so much of what our, you know, ideal prospects, what's going through their mind comes through in the welcome questionnaire questions. I'm making a note of that one for myself.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And just a couple more ideas where people are like, well, I don't have welcome questionnaires. If you've ever hosted live calls or trainings for group programs or even just one-on-one clients, if you've recorded them, going back to the very first call, I know how important it is to, you know, set intentions and really make commitments and set different goals inside of programs when you're first starting. So if there's a call where you're doing that and you're going around and really listening to what people want to get out of it, then that's a great call to go back to and just kind of listen to what people are saying. If you have a Facebook group, whether that's just like a free Facebook group that you host or if it's a Facebook group for the specific program that you've run before, going back and just seeing where people have gotten tripped up in the beginning or even along the way, like, all of this is such brilliant copy that you can gather without doing, you know, tons of extra work even. It's all right there for you. It's just kind of, you have to go on a little scavenger hunt sort of to get the information.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad that you're bringing up also the questions that you can ask on social media. You know, if you've got a group, it's great. But even on personal pages, you know, sometimes I'll just ask a question that helps me gather information, like what are the types of things that you struggle with when it comes to facilitation? And it's such a great way to get into, you know, some of the pieces that you know you want to be speaking to in your website and any other copy. So let's look more specifically at website. Oh, well, you know, let me go back because I don't think we kind of like have answered the question of when is it time to create a website. And it definitely, I think one of the pieces that came out of this is like not at the very beginning, and especially if you're not sure of your languaging yet and your messaging and all of that. But can you just speak a little bit to like some pieces, you know, some clues that it actually is time to create the website?
Yes, absolutely. So there are no like hard rules for anything. Like I really do believe that it is your business and ultimately you know best for yourself and for your clients and for whatever you're doing inside your business. But generally speaking, I really see once people have really nailed down those pieces of, okay, like what's my unique magic and my distinct positioning? How am I going to clearly and confidently communicate my messaging? And do I actually know my ideal clients? Once they've done that target market research, and they either have some type of freebie that they've created where they are ready to start to gather leads, or maybe they have a program that they're ready to sell, then it's time to create a website. So the step zero of creating websites, even if you like aren't ready for the full shebang, is you could always have what's called a landing page where you literally even just have like a coming soon or some type of teaser that's like, you know, X program is coming soon and we can't wait to share more details. Like in the meantime, while we're, you know, concocting all this magic, leave your name and your email and you'll be the first to hear about it once it's ready. So something as simple as that is at least like a placeholder that you can have so you start attracting leads. And so if anybody is interested in your services while you're kind of figuring out the program details and getting everything set up with the tech side of things, at least you have that up and ready to go. So you can then, once it's live, actually have people to send to your website. So it's not just like crickets once it launches.
Yeah, I love that idea, and it just simplifies it too. You know, if it feels too overwhelming to go with the whole website, you don't have the time, you can put that up. And I want to get in a moment to, you know, once you put the website up, you know, what are the essential pages and, you know, what should be on each of them. But before that, I really want to underscore a piece that you just mentioned, which is so important, which is no matter what you put up, whether it's, you know, a website with a lot of pages, or it's simply one landing page with coming soon, you know, one of the things that can be so easily overlooked is that one of the purposes of a website, you know, I always see like there's different purposes to a website, and one is obviously to share information about yourself and your work, but the other is for lead generation. And, you know, it's great if somebody who, you know, reads your website and they're really interested and they get in touch, but there's more people that will read your website, be really interested, but not get in touch with you directly right then and there. So any opportunity you have, and maybe you can speak about this more, Lexi, but to capture names and email addresses, I feel like that's a big purpose of having a website.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's a great lead-in to kind of, like, why do you even have a website? So I see a lot of people being like, okay, well, I should have a homepage and an about page and, like, this page. And they kind of just then go and put these things up without first and foremost asking themselves, why does my website exist? So what is the purpose? What is the intention of my website? So we have to think about the bigger picture, and, you know, as with anything that we do in our business, the intention is so freaking important. So in order to figure out, like, what the purpose of your website is, I always go back to your business goals. So you really want to make sure that you have clear business goals about, okay, well, right now I really want to attract private clients, or I really want to be growing my list right now. Like, that's really important to me, or I want to make X amount of money. Like, whatever it is, that your big business goal is, you want to make sure that your website goal is going to align with that. So it's going to be a very different website if you are, you know, trying to get leads as your main focus, or if you're trying to launch a course as your main focus, or if you're trying to land speaking gigs, for example, as your main focus. So I think it's really, really important to just ask yourself, okay, what is my top priority business goal right now, you know, in the next 90 days, 6 months or so, because you can have different calls to action on your website that will change, but what are you really trying to create inside of your business, and then how can we start to then think about your website as a supporting tool to get you that result or that end goal?
I love that. Especially, you know, it goes back to just what you were sharing in your bio about loving cookies but not being cookie cutter, because as soon as we go cookie cutter and just it's like this is the way to do it, that's when things can really fall apart. As you were just talking, I was thinking about one of my new private clients. She is a corporate coach, and how we set up her website and what pages are on it, and even really what the purpose is, even though she's working to get clients, just like someone who's not a corporate coach, it's just so different than someone who's working in the private sector. The types of pages that she has are going to be just a little bit different. So that being said, even though we know things aren't cookie cutter, can you share with us, you know, kind of like across the board, some of the pages that really are the most important to have, and a little bit about what would, you know, what would go on those pages?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, most important page on the site is probably going to be your homepage for 99.9% of people, because this is typically the most frequently visited page. So this is where people are going to land on. And the objective of your homepage is really to inspire people to take a specific action that is going to, again, it's going to be aligned with your business goal, but that's probably going to lead them to download a freebie or go check out a product or read a blog post or head to, you know, a course page, whatever it is that is in alignment with your business goal. But the goal of the homepage is to really make sure that people are going to take that desired action from that page. So the format of your homepage will definitely be determined by the overall website goals and objectives. But kind of first and foremost, like the most important thing that people are first going to see is what we call above the fold. So above the fold is basically when you land on a homepage or a website, it's everything that you see right on the page before you start scrolling down. And typically what's above the fold is, if it's a personal brand, you probably are going to want to have a picture of yourself looking like at the camera, so it feels like you're warm and inviting people like into your homepage, okay, like into your internet home, and you really want to just build that immediate connection with people off the bat. So you're probably going to have a picture of yourself. And then you're going to have what we call this one-liner, which is a clear and concise statement that really lets people who are visiting immediately know what you're offering and why the heck they should stick around. So people are always asking, like, well, what's in it for me? Like, why should I care? As we all know, like, everybody is super, super busy right now, and they have a million things going on. We get distracted so easily. So if it's not crystal clear why someone should stick around and what's in it for them, people are going to X out. So you really, really want to make sure, this is so important here, that you are speaking that ideal client's language and speaking to their specific needs. So something that I see a lot of the times on this one-liner is, like, it's very vague or trying to be, like, too clever or too creative, and I'm all about that, but you really want to be clear. So saying something like, I'm going to help you create the life and business you love, like, it's not that great, because that could really speak to so many people. What might be even better is saying something like, create a life and business you love with essential oils. That's then cutting it down and really speaking maybe to an even more specific person. And then, like, the next level would be, skyrocket the success of your essential oil business to create more time and freedom so you can spend like more of this with your family and friends. I'm kind of making this up off the spot. But you really want to just zone in on exactly what it is that they're saying they're desiring and start to like, paint a picture of what they could have if they stick around and hang out with you.
I love that. I love the – it's such a great illustration of how the more specific, the better. And also, I end up saying this a lot because I tend to attract women who are, like, snobby in a good way and who are, you know, whip smart. And what I always say when it comes to copy is don't be a smarty pants in your copy.
Yeah.
Because if you're – that's not the place to show your smarty pantsness. Because if you're too smarty pants, people have to think too hard to get it, they're going to zone out before they actually get it and click off the page.
Totally. And this is something that I struggled with for so long because I really do like to be creative and I like to like be that smarty pants person. But like if they don't get it, like you said, they're going to click off. So it's really not serving anybody. There are other places where you get to be clever and really show, you know, your unique flavor. So great point. And so right on the top of the fold as well, you then want to have what is called a CTA or a call to action. So basically you're giving people a clear direction of what to do next. If you don't have a clear direction, then people are just going to kind of feel aimless. So you really want to make sure that you are directing them somewhere that is, again, in alignment with the number one goal of your website. So you want to be specific with your calls to action, too. So instead of, like, sign up for my newsletter list, like, that's not very clear what they're going to get out of it. So you might want to say if you have a five-day challenge coming up, you know, sign up for the five-day challenge that's going to help you X, Y, and Z. So whatever it is. So sign up for the five-day challenge that's going to help you cut down your work hours in half so you can spend more time with your family. Or, click here to check out our new product and save 30% today. So something like that is like, ooh, like that's an incentive. That's interesting. And I need that type of product right now. So great. So basically, you just want to make sure that you're being specific with what you're asking them to do and also kind of from a visual perspective that these stand out. So a good tip is to make sure that the button is a bright color or that it is bolded or a different type of font to catch people's attention. And another little tip is to also have this same call to action in multiple places throughout the page. So with the homepage, sometimes it's like a landing page for people to have like a choose their own adventure where maybe there's like a couple of different options that they can, you know, go to opt-in to for a freebie. Maybe they can go and check out your about page or maybe there's one other thing that's like check out the blog. So that's totally fine and that's typical. But if you're really, really looking to hit one specific goal, then the more calls to action that are driving people to that place where you're looking to sell something or get people to opt in, the better.
I think that's such a good point because people are so absent-minded and distracted that just because they've seen it on the top of the page, sometimes by the bottom of the page, they don't remember, or by the time they get to another page, they don't remember. And I think those of us that are soul-centered, we don't want to be too pushy, and we think like, oh my gosh, I already told it, you know, I already made this invitation in this one place, I can't do it again. But the truth is, mm-hmm. we know our sites and our material, you know, so much better than someone who's just quick looking at it. So those multiple CTAs are really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you're going to have people on your website, like they're there for a reason. They want help. They're searching for help. And so the best thing that we can do is continue to offer it and continue to show them like how they can take that next step. So that's definitely really important. And so then, or one other thing I want to say too is I think in the past, homepages have been really long. At least like 3 to 5 years ago, I used to see really long homepages, and now people are really getting to the point with their homepages. They're making them a lot shorter. And I think that this is so important because, again, You really want to make sure that you are getting people to take the action that you want them to take, and you're not distracting them with so many different options, because the more options people have, the less likely they are to actually choose something. So some of the sites that I've seen actually be the most successful is like when there's like just one option or maybe two max, because it eliminates like that decision fatigue and really just directs them in the right place. So that's something that you might want to consider as you're creating your site as well.
I'm so glad that you're mentioning. So first of all, just keep, you know, one of the underlying themes that I keep on hearing here is simple and direct are best.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know, I'm just
sexy.
Like, yeah, yes. And I'm just chuckling to myself because, as you know, Lexi, you and I have spoken about this a little bit, my website is in dire need of an update. And so hearing you say, like, don't have it be long, have it be simple, I'm thinking, you know, it's such a, my homepage is such a great example of even when you're established, it is important every couple of years to update and to kind of go with what some of the trends, I don't want to say trends in the industry because it's not that, but people's attention spans change just with saturation and, you know, whatever it is. So even for seasoned entrepreneurs and websites, it's important to kind of be on top of it every couple of years.
Yes, absolutely. And, like, I love content creation, and I feel like I could share so much. So this is, like, something that I really, really need to work on myself and be really conscious of. But at the end of the day, like, when we have so much content on there, I mean, yes, our biggest fans might stay and read it all. But for the most part, we're actually doing people a disservice when we're doing that, and they're not able to get what they need. So I just try to keep coming back to, like, you know, simple is sexy, the simple is what serves. And once they've opt into something or once they take that next step, then you get to continue to share and continue to provide a really amazing experience for the rest of the journey. But if they X out right away, then you're never going to have that opportunity to serve them. So we really need to be mindful of all of that and people's behaviors and, like the psychology of the client who's coming onto these sites. So all that's really important. Another important thing is your positioning. So on your homepage, you really want to make your positioning clear. So let's just keep going with the essential oils example. So for example, like, you know, there are a million people out there who sell essential oils, like everyone and their mom does these days. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't sell them, like they're awesome. But what is it that makes you and your company different? Why should people choose your service or your products over all the others out there? So this is going to go back to the target market research that you do and what your people care about. So if we're looking at essential oils, are the people in your audience people who really value the quality of them or the ingredients inside of them? If so, you really are going to want to make a point that you are speaking about the superior quality, about the completely natural ingredients that are in the brand. Or are your people, like, they just want cute packaging and they want to use them as a decor item inside of the house? Because if that's the case, then maybe you're speaking more to, like, the fact that they smell amazing and they're going to look amazing as well. Mm-hmm. But you're not really going to be talking about the ingredients because people, like, don't really care. So you just want to think about what is it that your people really care about? What is it that they value? And so this kind of becomes your brand values sort of come into play here as well. So it's like, what do you stand for? What does your brand stand for? And most likely, your ideal clients are going to have those same values, and that's where they're really going to become emotionally connected and invested inside of your brand and whatever you're saying on your website, because you're going to be able to position your brand in alignment with their values as well.
I love that. I'm so happy that you're sharing that, because I think that that's a place where a lot of people get messed up, is that they don't realize that their branding is so related to their position in the industry and how it all works together. And one of the examples that I sometimes give is that, like, the branding for, say, a car like a Toyota is really different than the branding for, I don't know, what's really expensive these days. You know, it's not Rolls Royce anymore. I don't know, whatever it is. I'm not into cars.
Yeah.
But like they both know their position in the market, and Toyota doesn't need to come off as fancy or high-end as Rolls-Royce. That's not how they're going to sell the most. They're going to sell the most by knowing what their ideal client is looking for and then branding and positioning to that.
Yes, exactly. Cars are such like a great example to look at. I mean, there is just so, they spend millions and millions of dollars on advertising and target market research. So just kind of taking clues from these bigger industries as well is really fascinating to look at. And so, yeah, you really want to own the section of the marketplace that you're interested in. And so how can you even amplify that even further and take it to the next level? So not to not be yourself, because it's so important that you are always being 100% yourself, but I think some people even shy away from being their true self because they're afraid that they might turn people off or they might, you know, be too much, quote unquote. But it's that's really what is your magic and what makes you stand out. So the more that you can be 100% unapologetically you and really like showcase your unique flavor, that's when people who are your ideal clients are going to be like, oh my God, I need to work with her. And yeah, you're, of course, you're going to maybe turn off some people, but you're totally going to turn on those ideal clients. And those are the people that you want to work with anyway. So it's really important that you are amplifying that and being as true to yourself as possible.
Yeah, I love that. It's like the Toyota people are not trying to get the Rolls-Royce people and vice versa. They're really staying in their lane and not worrying about anyone else.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, it's just such a waste of energy. Like, it's so much harder to pretend to be somebody else versus if you're just yourself. Like, it just becomes so much easier, and you, it's so much more enjoyable to work with those clients, too, who you're going to attract naturally by being you. So that's all.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. So I know we could probably spend the rest of the call just talking about homepages. I want to talk about some of the other pages and also you know, maybe a little bit more about branding. But before there, just a side question, because I know like your expertise is in websites, and you know, we'll talk more later about how you work with people in websites, but I know your other expertise is really helping entrepreneurs get clear, like you have so many amazing tools, the NLP, you know, so many different things, like helping them get clear on who they really are. And I imagine this comes into play a lot when you're helping people figure out their websites, because I know when people come to me, it's like, it's hard to know what is my positioning, you know, what is it that I really stand for? Can you just speak for a moment about how like some of your other tools can really help people get clear on that, not just at the beginning of your entrepreneurial journey, but, you know, even later on?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, like, it's always great to start with the overview of, you know, what's your bigger vision and, like, what's your purpose, what's your brand story, like, why the heck did you get into this in the first place, and kind of just spending some time with that is definitely very important. But then kind of to get more clarity around things like your brand values, like I like to say, like pick, you know, about 5 to 7 words that your brand stands for or that your brand believes in, and that are going to be the pillars of your company and everything that it's founded on. So, for example, like this is not only really helpful in communicating your message, but also when you make decisions for your brand. So if, for example, like one of your brand values is play and fun, then you're going to, that's like a guideline and a system that you're going to check in with all the time. So when you're going to create a program, you're going to ask yourself, like, does this feel fun? Does this feel playful and enjoyable? And if it feels like hard or serious or whatever, then that's probably not in alignment. So it's time to kind of recalibrate your compass. So not only, again, is it going to help externally and help people really understand like who you are and what you stand for, but it's going to be a great internal system for you to have and for you to check in with along the way. So I also like to say, like, once you determine those, let's just say, five brand values, really defining what they mean to you and to your brand, because fun and playful could mean one thing to me and something completely different to somebody else. So defining it for yourself is going to be really important, both, again, to have internally for your business, but also externally when you're kind of explaining what your brand values mean to other people, or you don't even have to explain it, but as you just do and be and show up, it'll be apparent. I also have, like, some fun questions that I like to ask people in terms of, like, figuring out what your brand vibe is and the personality of your brand. Mm-hmm. So, like, one question, for example, is if your brand were a drink, what would it be? And so for some people, like, they're like, oh, my gosh, like, I don't actually drink alcohol, so it would be water because, you know, it's like the most purest essence of life, and like I love the natural life and being connected with, you know, the purest version of myself that I can be. Somebody else might be like a pina colada because they're like, I love to, you know, be like fun and wild and carefree, and, you know, the beachy vibes are part of my brand. So that's, I mean, whatever your brand drink would be is definitely telling of the personality. Some other quick questions just to, like, ask, just for you to think about, are if your brand had a top three playlist for songs, like, what would the top three songs on your brand's playlist be?
No, I was just saying, I love it. I'm writing down these questions because I can ask myself.
Yeah, it's so fun. And to see people's, like, different answers, like, your brand really comes to life. And I know they sound silly, but it really does help to shape things.
Yeah.
So another question might be, like, if you were going to invite three guests who would represent your brand, who would they be? So they can be celebrities, they can be people in, you know, fiction books, whatever it is, but, like, who are three people that would represent your brand? If your brand was a party outfit, what would your party outfit look like? If your brand's party was hosted in a certain city, what city would it be hosted in? Like, what city is the representation of your brand? And there's a bunch of other ones like that, and you can come up with ideas for yourself, but this starts to kind of bring out the personality, and again, like, everything that you can create, you just check in and make sure it's in alignment with these things.
Yeah, I love all of those questions. They're such great ways to get to the core of it, and I just want to say, like, from my own experience, like you're saying, like, it can sound silly or, you know, whatever, but this piece of coming up with those characteristics, you know, five of them, whatever it is so vital. Just because people on the call and listening to the call know my brand a little bit, I just want to use my brand as an example. So, you know, my three words, which came a little bit from looking at myself and also a little bit from just interviewing, you know, back to those informational interviews, like clients that had worked with me and asking, you know, what are the words that you think of when you think of me? You know, my three are wise, intuitive, and sacred. And anybody that's worked with me, it's like, yeah, of course, right? And so even though there is a part of me that's playful, that's not, like, when you said playful before, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, that's not what I lead with. And it would be a mistake for me to put too much playful in my branding. Instead, with those three guiding principles of the wise, intuitive, and sacred, when I had a photo shoot, I was thinking about those three words when I picked out my outfit and the location of where the photos were going to be. I was thinking about those colors. You know, I shared those. I was thinking about those words with my designer, and that informed colors. That informed font. And then, of course, it informed copy as well.
Yes, yes. It informs, like, everything, and it's such a huge part. And I think, like, you know, it also is such a fun way to dive into your business and your brand. And it just adds that next layer and that next dimension to everything that people can really feel and see and sense. So it's so important to take the time to work through this. And I know some people can get caught up in perfectionism and wanting to like do it perfectly. First of all, that doesn't even exist, but this can always evolve. So I always say, like, go with your gut instinct, go with what you're really feeling called to now. And if it changes in the future, awesome. You can always switch it up and it can always evolve as you evolve, but just pick something and run with it. It's not going to be the end of the world if you choose playful instead of like funny or silly. You know what I mean? Like just go with it.
Yeah. Don't get into that myth of perfection. It's so true. We don't have that much time left, but could you go through and just share some of the other most important pages that you want to make sure you include on the website,
yes.
And then we'll maybe open up for a question or two.
Yes, absolutely. So to go kind of quickly through this, next is the About page, and this is probably the second most important page. And the mistake that I see a lot of people making is that they make the About page about themselves when it's really about the person reading the page. And this doesn't mean you're not going to share anything about yourself. You're absolutely going to share your story, because story, as we all know, is such an important factor that connects people on a deeper emotional level. However, the story should invite them into it. They should be able to see themselves in the story and how like they can go from their current reality to their desired reality with the help of your service or your product or whatever it is that you're offering. So it's really important that they see themselves in the story, that you're also using like you instead of like me or I in your copy. So again, like speaking to them, it's an important page to build trust with your readers and the people who are viewing your page. And, you know, I think that it's always important that you are also sharing some type of credentials or like why you are the authority or the respected leader in whatever space you're saying that you're going to help people with. So again, you can do this in a way that's on brand for you. It doesn't have to be like a laundry list of like different credentials or certifications that you've received. If that's like your brand, that's awesome, but it can also be playful and fun if that's the way that you want to roll, or magical, or whatever it is for you. So anything though that really helps to develop that trust and why you are the person to guide them on this journey is really important.
Yeah, such great points. It's so, like that About page. I love how you put it. It's not about the practitioner. It is really about the reader and just using the practitioner's story as a mirror for that. And I'm glad that you mentioned the credentials piece, because I know a lot of people can kind of get stuck in that place, like, oh, but I don't have, you know, all of these degrees, or I haven't won any awards, or whatever it is. You know, for some people, those things are going to be the credentials, but for other people, it's like, you know, Joanna is beloved by her clients because, you know, and that is as an important a credential for my, you know, for one ideal client than all of the degrees or whatever it is for, you know, for someone else.
Exactly. And so testimonials is a really important piece that I like to include on the homepage too, when possible. But this is also a great option to include on the About page as well. And I mean, we don't have time to go into the elements of a sales page today, but essentially on any page where you're making a claim about yourself, your service, or something that you do or facilitate, it's always so powerful to then have a testimonial that's going to back that up, because yes, your word is powerful and important, but somebody else's who can attest to whatever it is that you're saying is even more credible and even more important for people to really develop that next level of trust.
Yeah, the testimonials is so important. And even if you're just starting out, getting a testimonial from, you know, someone that you volunteer coached or whatever it is, but having that social proof. So
yes, absolutely. So then we have the services page. So this, again, is going to maybe look very different depending on what type of services or courses or experiences that you're offering. But really, the objective of this page is to position you or your brand or your service as the only option to help people solve their biggest problem, and then to also get them to take the action of learning more or investing or whatever that next step is that they need to take to get even closer to becoming a client. So I think it's a really great, like if you have multiple services that you offer, I think it's really great to keep this page short and sweet. So let's just say you have two, maybe three services that you offer. You can kind of have a little synopsis about who it's for and what the result is that they're going to get, and then have a button to invite them to learn more. But when you just have like so much content about all your services on one page, it can be a little bit overwhelming and hard for people to really discern what it is that they need. So in a distinct blurb, really calling out like who each of your services and products is for and inviting them to then learn more, I find to be a really great option. And again, like it's not helpful if you have like a gazillion different services on there. I think that even if you do offer six or seven different services, as much as you can to really like help people find what they're looking for, keep it simple. And you might even have a page where, let's just say you have multiple services, then on this services landing page, it can be like, are you looking for one-on-one support? Are you looking where, like, we'll deep dive into your specific needs and desires? Or are you looking for a group experience where you'll get personal touch points that you also want to be a part of a sisterhood? And from there, they can then click, and maybe you have a couple of one-on-one options on the next page or a couple of group programs on the next page. But, again, the idea is to kind of just keep things as simple and not to overwhelm all at once. I hope that makes sense. I'm, like, seeing it visually, but I might not be doing a good job of explaining it.
No, yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. It's another great example of less is more. Keep it simple and not put, like, tons of information up front. Just have either a synopsis of each service or some questions, and then that takes people to more.
And yes, exactly. And then, like, once you get into the specific services page, this becomes more of a sales page, and that's a whole other, you know, element in itself. But overall, you really just want to be speaking to the pain points and the desires. You want to be talking about anything that qualifies you, again, to be the one to deliver the service, anything that differentiates you from other people out there, your methodology or your model or your system. Again, I don't like cookie cutter things, but I think that we all have some type of unique methodology or system that we follow that we can speak to, and that also helps to create even more trust and credibility because it's like a proven, quote-unquote, system. And then you also want to include any results or benefits that they can expect to experience, perhaps any details that are important for them to know about the program, and then social proof and, of course, calls to action for them to then take the next step to work with you.
Yeah, I love it. For just because you're mentioning the system, you know, for those of you who are doing, you know, you have the Your Sacred Business modules from me, module two, if you go through it, it will help you create, I call it your brilliance-based system, but that, this is what Lexi is talking about, is really painting the picture, the step-by-step, so that people can really see how you get them from point A to point B, and you want to include that in the more specific services pages. We only have a couple minutes left. I feel like we could talk for hours on all of this. It's so, I just love talking about all of this. I want to open up and just see if there are any questions. But before I do, one of the things, I just love your shop. And can you just share with everybody a little bit about your shop? Because it's like unique, and you're so creative, and it brings so much to what you've got in there. And I just want people to know that they have this as an option in case they feel overwhelmed by creating a whole website.
Yes, 100%. So, yes, it's a very fun site. So it's thebrandparty.com, and basically what we do is we have website themes that you can purchase to make all of this super-duper easy. In terms of both writing the copy and creating these beautiful and standout designs for your website. So you'll have to definitely go and check out everything on the site. I think the visual, once you're on it, it does a better job of me explaining it. But essentially, there are these prepackaged themes that come with everything from your homepage, your about page, to different landing pages, sales pages, all pre-formatted and designed for you, but also with all the strategy and copy prompts to go along with it. So you really don't even have to spend tons of time researching the strategy. It's all there for you. So it takes out the guesswork, makes it really easy, and also is so easy to customize every single element to be on brand for you, whether it's the colors or the fonts. I always say it's so easy to do, even your grandma could do it. And there are videos that just show how simple it is, because I've banged my head against the wall a zillion times trying to build my website in the past, and my clients have too. So we really just want to make it so easy and so fun. And, of course, high converting, so you can get your message and your service out into the world.
I love it. It's brandparty.com.
The brand party.
I just love the name, and it's so true. I mean, for some people, it's just, I always say take the easy way out if there is one with some of this stuff, and I feel like what you have is the ultimate easy way out for people that have been overwhelmed or just putting it off. All right, I have a question for you, but I'm going to hold on it in case there are other questions that let's see. So anybody have questions for Lexi on branding, website? What can she answer for you in just a couple of minutes left? Anything you guys want to know? I know we've thrown a lot of info at you today. Let's see. All right, well, I'm going to ask my one question since I have your brain.
I got disconnected.
Oh, that's okay. Are you there now?
Okay, sorry about that. I'm back now. I don't know what happened, but I'm back.
Okay, good. Nobody raised their hand, and so I want to just ask you my quick question that you can just answer with a yes or no answer. Those pop-ups, when you go, I've always shied away from those pop-ups. You go to a website, and the first thing you see is, sign up for blah, blah, blah in a little box.
Yes.
Are those actually still effective?
Yes. They are. It's a hard thing to answer because it's something that you should always test and see. So this gets a little bit more complicated into split testing. So 50% of the time you should send people to your site without the pop-up and 50% of the time with the pop-up, and then see how it performs and how your newsletter list grows, for example. But it is proven to be more effective. However, some people, it drives not so. So it's really a personal preference, and there are other ways to get people to opt in if you don't want to do the pop-up thing.
That's
a good question.
Really helpful. That is a very helpful answer. Thank
you. Okay, good. I'm I don't know how, it's a tough one to answer because it is personal preference, but ultimately it's supposed to be more effective. So yeah, you got to try it out. So with everything, it's always testing and seeing what works too. So there's that whole element of the process as well.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I want to share. So I really recommend going to your website and looking at the brand website party course. And I'll share that link with everybody in the members section. But if you guys want to take a look at it now, it's lexideangelo.com/brand-website-party-course. And Lexi, thank you so much for everything that you shared today.
Of course.
Conversation. I love talking to you.
Me too. This is so fun. Thank you for having me, and I hope it was helpful. And if anybody has any questions, I'm always down to answer anything. So just let me know if there's anything else that I can answer, because I know that was a lot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
And thanks, everybody. I'll talk to everybody soon. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.